Welcome to Season 4 of Whiteboard.fm. Today we're going to interview Pranava Tandra, who's a product designer at Intercom. Pranava did her bachelor's from NIFT, followed by a master's degree from IIT Hyderabad in interaction design and visual design. She's worked at Adobe and Microsoft, and her wonderful, wonderful Medium articles have been featured in publications like The Prototyper and The UX Planet. We asked her questions around job interviews, work from home burnouts, UX case studies, portfolios, basic psyche, and a lot of other stuff. So without wasting any further time, let's get started. This is your host, Ansh Mehra, and you are tuning in to Season 4 of Whiteboard.fm. Welcome to Season 4 of Whiteboard.fm, Pranava. We're so happy to host you tonight.
So happy to be here as well, Ansh.
We have read your Medium articles. In fact, when Mayank and I were going through her profile, we were like, her articles are so in-depth. Very few people know about all those plugins that you shared on. So, of course, we'll jump right into the first question. You've been featured in Prototyper and UX Planet on Medium, and people have been loving the resources that you share. But where do you find your design resources? Do you have like a go-to list of websites that you curate them from?
So first of all, thank you. I'm not really someone who bookmarks resources. I realized this wasn't working for me years ago because I would just collect the resources and then I would never go back to them. Then it would just end up like a graveyard of resources. So yeah, I don't collect resources. And my browsing behavior is such that it's mostly need-based and time-based. So let's say I want to research about a certain topic. I try to read as much as possible on that particular day. I just don't make tabs. I read as much as I can from various resources, not limited to, say, Twitter or Medium, with like tens of UX publications it has already, or Smashing Magazine or UX Mag, right? There's no one place where you can get everything from, right? In fact, Reddit can also be super useful. So inspiration is everywhere. So I just go looking for subject matter experts. Just read about them, set up one-on-ones with them, understand what they think about the topic. And that's how I try to collect my knowledge. There isn't a set list of go-to websites anymore. However, I do follow some tech channels on YouTube to get like quick summaries of new tech-related information, right? Like there's The Verge, and then there's MKBHD and TechCrunch. But that's just the YouTube channels I follow for new tech-related information. So yeah, I don't actually have any list as such.
Makes sense. I can relate to that. I have a couple of resources I've never used. So a lot of new UX designers face issues while writing their first UX case study because they've read a few case studies, but they don't know the proper recipe behind it. Can you give us some advice or some tips that we can use while working on our own personal project case studies?
So I think there's already a lot of information on the internet about this. There are several templates and how to get started tips. However, what I believe is you don't need to cover all the theoretical steps mentioned in the design process to complete your case study. So I believe your case study should be a story that talks about how you dealt with a problem statement and in the most organic way. What I've noticed is a lot of people skip the part about collaboration in their case studies. It's usually like, I did this and then I did this. I'm not sure if that's a good trait because when you're at work, when you're working in a company, you have to work alongside other people. So talking about teamwork, collaboration, shared outcomes and impact can be super useful when it comes to case studies.
All right. So what do you think about using all kinds of fancy words? Because I see that very regularly. Like, what is your entire view around making it seem very complex? Should we keep it very simple or should we show that, oh, I know this amount of stuff?
People will read it if it is simple. It should always be simple. I think you should use your depth of knowledge where it is required. Just using jargons for the sake of it is not required. So let's say you're designing a specific part in the process, and there are some jargons you must use to like explain the tech or the management about it, then yeah, you use it there. Otherwise, I don't think you should like use a lot of words. And most people who look at case studies today just spend not more than like, say, 2 or 3 minutes scrolling through what they have done and what is the outcome and what is the impact, right? So keeping it as simple as possible, making it, there should be a right balance between words and visuals. One should not exceed the other. And when you are putting this framework together, you should show it to a few people and like get their thoughts on it. Like, was it easy to browse? Was it easy to read? And then I guess you will at a point start, you know, improvising on it. Like you will start improving it. And that's when you'll feel like, okay, it's come to a form now where people can scroll quickly, but also can understand. So that should basically be the motto.
All right. Most designers love their jobs, but there are cases when you forget to draw a line with respect to your work schedule, especially working from home. How do we make sure we avoid burnouts? And if we have a burnout, how do we fix it?
Well, like so far, my motto has been very simple, right? Like, if you want to do it, just do it. And for a very long time, I wouldn't fall asleep until I was sleepy. So, you know, a lot of people actually go to bed at like 11 and wake up at like 6 or 7, right? That's like a set timetable. But I was not like that at all. I wouldn't just fall asleep until I was feeling really sleepy, meaning it could be anytime between 4 a.m. to 6 a.m. And I was not sure if it was the right way to live, because the anxiety from very high self-expectations also was killing me. But right now, I'm more intentional about relaxing my mind. And it comes after, you know, being through like meaningless anxiety. So yeah, I take breaks to say, take a walk or draw something in between, read something relaxing, sometimes watch TV. I take these regular breaks and I time them. Having said that, if something drives you too much, like if you can't sleep because you're too enthusiastic about it, which is also bad, which has also happened to a lot of us, might as well just do it and go to bed, right? Like, there have been many nights where I feel like, but that thing is more important. I need to do that before I hit the bed. And because of that, I can't sleep. So one way is like breaking down the task into like smaller chunks. And for your own self, smaller checkpoints to keep your sanity in place. So I think good planning goes a long way.
How do you plan your time? How do you prioritize what thing to do first?
So there is like work, and then there is like the other stuff we do on the side. Work, I strictly work between 9 to 5 most of the times, unless there is something that is burning. And the other stuff on the side, I put in like 2-3 hours of my leisure time because I feel good doing it, right? Like, whether it is something about NFTs or Web3 or whatever that is I want to do on the side, I pick up a topic and I just go deep into it. And I set a time of 2-3 hours to like do this. And once I'm done, so I look at it and I'm like, okay, there are these few things I have to learn about. And I pick the first thing that comes to my mind, like, you need to have like a basic understanding of, okay, this topic is huge, but this is like the foundation level stuff I must learn. So I allocate myself that time that, okay, this much time is gone for this stuff. And then I go deeper and deeper into the subject. And I only like do that when I'm free, when I've spent enough time doing other stuff in real physical world. So I right now prioritize my mental well-being over everything else. So, yeah.
I've been trying to learn about Web3 and NFTs, but everything seems so new.
Complex.
I mean, it just feels very intimidating.
Yeah, it is. And it's like an ever-changing landscape. So it's it's kind of difficult to keep up as well. But even if you learn like one little thing, right? Somehow that one little thing you learn adds up to the next thing you're going to learn in this world. So I guess no knowledge is unimportant right now. You can always like learn the most basic thing and then move to the next one. And you don't have to allocate yourself like 36 hours of nonstop time to like jump into it. Just take it slow and you'll still be much ahead as an early adopter right now.
Makes sense. What should students include in their portfolio to get better opportunities or a better job? Like, is there a category of personal projects that can help students increase their chances of getting more opportunities?
I think most companies look for character inside projects. I think most recruiters are curious about what drives this person. I feel the side projects or hobbies, if I may, are the ones that define the personality of a candidate. And it could be anything, a side project, a hobby, something you do for yourself, or maybe the community. All of these count. Like I remember how one of my friends actually built an Arduino system to feed their guinea pig in their absence and actually pushed it as a side project. And I remember another friend of mine ran a personality development session for underprivileged groups from the Northeast. So there are a lot of interesting things you can potentially do as problem solvers, if not designers. And designers are, at the end of the day, problem solvers. So there's a lot of things you can actually do and like talk about it. So yeah, that's my take on side projects.
But no one has ever said it this way. I didn't know that recruiters actually see for character, but how can we build our own character? Like, how do we show a part of our character in our projects?
So I think this is a very personal thing, right? We all are very different in the sense I'm someone who likes to doodle a lot. And if you probably looked at my portfolio, you'll realize that there's a small doodle of me in every page of my portfolio. Which actually depicts what I was doing during that process. Like, it's just a tiny cartoon. And that brings out the character of myself when I'm showing my portfolio. So that's one way, right? Or somebody could just show like a 60-second banging video of their entire project. And that could also grab attention. So there's a lot of, it's more of an expression, right? Like, how do you want to express yourself as a designer? And when you're actually doing problem solving, right? Like when you're actually on the job, how do you document this? How creatively can you document this? So when I talked about that friend of mine who actually was feeding their guinea pig in their absence, right? He set up a webcam and he actually looked at the behavior of the guinea pig each time the food was sort of dispatched from the Arduino system. And he made like a video of it and he showed how happy this guinea pig was getting the food at every interval. And it was really nice the way he had packaged it as a design exercise. I think there are a lot of ways you can think about it. Just try to creatively express yourself through your projects and you will automatically become an interesting person instead of just a designer. So, yeah.
Awesome. We get a lot of questions from our viewers asking that, you know, how are job interviews like at all the big companies? Because they feel very nervous about it. So what kind of questions can you expect from like really big companies in, you know, interviews? And what are some common mistakes that we can avoid from the beginning itself?
So I think recruiters are looking for people who are great thinkers and good collaborators. When students show projects, it's expected they know basics and not really be masters of it. Mastery is something you'll gain on the job. It's also expected to show decent skills in like pixel pushing because it's almost like the stepping stone. So showing enthusiasm for the need to learn on the job popularly known as growth mindset, is a highly skilled trait and interviewers actively look for it. One thing I feel is being vulnerable and self-aware is an important key to providing authentic answers. I don't think students or otherwise should look at any interview as a test and like maybe instead look at it as a conversation which will maybe enable themselves to understand better about their own mentality and personality, right? It's almost like a self-reflection exercise. Bottom line, you just have to be casual and a little self-aware. Don't throw words that you don't understand. Don't pretend like you know a lot as well if you don't really. So be natural and like show the urge to like learn more. Having said that, never discount preparation for a productive conversation with your interviewers.
Were your interviews great? Like, did you feel nervous before your interviews?
Not really. I always thought I'll go there, I'll be my spontaneous best. Obviously, some turned out great and some didn't, because the expectations are different for each role as well you interview for. But you will learn something when you walk out of that room or when you end the call these days. So it'll take some time to occur to you, like 7 years, 8 years, you let it 8 hours, you let it marinate in your head and you feel like, yeah, that didn't go well, that went well. So the more interviews you do, the more experience you get about how to answer a certain question. And then you'll also have, there's always this thing, right? You don't know how the other person is like. What is their temperament like? I mean, like, you don't know what they will actually find interesting in the parts of sentences you utter. So there's always that gamble. But yeah, you just be authentic, be yourself and give your best shot. And be more self-aware when you go in for those interviews.
A lot of people feel slightly underconfident because they're really scared. They're like, what if I'm being myself and they don't like it? What do you do about that?
I think saying that loud will be really nice. I know a friend who actually said this. She went into it and I'm like, I'm feeling really nervous. And the interviewers burst out laughing. And she sipped a little water and she was fine. So saying that loud really helps. Saying, you just say it out. You say, I'm feeling nervous. Okay, let me just drink a water a little, so that they know that you're in a certain frame of mind and they give you that leeway to like settle in and go slow as well.
All right. Yeah. So, we've asked you a very, very wide range of questions and I know for a fact that people are going to love your work. And for anyone who is watching this, I would strongly recommend you to check out Pranava's work. She has posted some fabulous articles on Medium and I love your covers as well. Very, bright and very happy. I write articles as well, but my covers are not that pretty. So I'm going to take some inspiration from yours. But with that being said, how can people just reach out to you or get connected with you?
I think Twitter is a good place. I'm mostly active on Twitter. I'm not so active on LinkedIn or any other social platform. So Twitter would be the best place to reach out to me. I usually reply to most messages.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming onto the show. We are very, very happy that you agreed to do this. And I hope that you had a good time.
I did, Ansh. Thank you so much for asking these questions. I hope there's some value in what I've said. And if you want to talk more again, any of you can always reach out and we could talk more. So
that's very kind of you. Take care and have a great life ahead and hope to sync up again.
Sure. Thanks a lot. And you too. Bye-bye.
You just finished listening to an episode from whiteboard.fm. Don't forget to follow our podcast because we are coming up with many more interviews that will help you accelerate your growth as an upcoming product designer. Check out our website, whiteboard.fm, to learn from our videos based on case studies and hiring processes at some of the most amazing companies in the world. This is your host, Ansh Mehra, signing out.